The legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, and Clear Air Solutions. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Fred and Amanda.
Why, thank you, Philip. Thank you very much. Yes, Fred and Amanda, powered away again today, finishing up his golfing experience on the East Coast at Cabot Links. I think he comes home later this afternoon, as a matter of fact. My goodness, that time flew by, did it not?
It really did. I can't believe this is the last day of our week.
Yes.
Our Howard-less week.
Mm-hmm. On today's show, Eric Shankman. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce it now? I want to make sure.
That's how I pronounce it. We'll see how he pronounces it.
Eric Shankman of the Spin Doctors, which is a bit of a thrill. You know, with our alternative rock history, Howard and I, The Edge was a big favorite of yours, and Spin Doctors back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They were quite the thing for a while.
They were walking on the sun. Who doesn't remember that? Who doesn't bust it out at the gym? That was them, right?
No, it wasn't them.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Oh.
No, they were two princes.
Two princes.
Yeah. Was the big
one. Who did Walking on the Sun?
Black Hole Sun?
No. Walking on the Sun. I know the song.
Smash Mouth, right?
Smash Mouth.
Oh, I always get the two mixed up. I really do. Yeah. So that's on me. I'm sorry. Once again, you were doing a great, great thing, and I came, and I just did a doo-doo on it.
That's the Humble and Fred Show.
That's the log line.
Well, it is.
We came.
That's what we do.
We make a doo-doo.
I noticed the date glaring at me off this page here, Thursday, August 15th. August 15th was my dad's birthday.
Oh, wow.
He would have been 94.
Oh, wow.
But he didn't make it to 83.
Okay.
So he's been dead 11, 12 years.
Okay.
So I just see the date and I bring that up. It makes me think of my dad.
Now, do you think of it the week of? Is it like 2 days ago? You're like, oh, it'll be, you know, my dad's birthday today.
Honestly, if I hadn't have seen it on the page here, the day probably would have slid by. Maybe the first couple of years that he was gone.
Yeah.
You would notice that. But August 15th could come and go. And now I don't have to do one of those Facebook postings.
Oh, the in memoriam?
Yeah, one of those Facebook postings where, my dad would have been 94 today. Miss you, Dad, and then have a picture of him.
Well, you can do that.
No, I don't do those things.
Is it bad if you unfollow somebody if they're in grief?
That's what a Howard thing, isn't it?
What's that?
Right, yeah,
if he notices someone he doesn't know and they're mourning, he just goes, I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm unfollowing you.
No, but if I know them, actually, if I know them.
Yeah, but why do you do that nowadays?
I have some grieving people on my Facebooks, folks, and I feel like an awful, awful person, but there's this one person who's going through this awful thing, and it's been a year of the awful thing,
okay.
and now the awful thing actually happened, and now it continues on in this stage of grief, and you want to support, but also I don't know this person that well.
Well, yeah. So what's your point?
My point is I feel like a bad person for unfollowing.
No, and but you know what? Why do they do that? Why do they put it on?
Because they need...
Why do they have an ongoing saga?
Because people need community. They need to be heard.
Because I'm the same way. You know, when people lying in hospital beds, it's bad enough. Here I am in the hospital in a picture and they look like hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do with that? Even worse is you take a picture of someone you love in a hospital bed and post it without their permission.
Even injuries. Guys, do you think it's broken? And it's like, I had a broken toe on my feet last week. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Cool. Or like busted knees and stuff like that.
And we've talked about the Facebook postings where you read, I can't take it anymore. And that's all that's there.
Yeah, that's actually, there was a girl from my high school this week. Guys, it's been a busy week for me on the Facebooks, who was like, I might as well kill myself. And I took me a while to kind of think, okay, who was she? And actually, who are you on my feed? Realized, okay, it's the same people from high school, so we must. And then I realized, okay, I went to high school. And then finally I had the yearbook picture memory of her, but she wasn't someone I hung out with or anything. So I just Googled a suicide hotline everybody, it was actually weird because a lot of people were like, find Christ, because that was my high school. Yeah. And then some other people like, it'll get, it's darkest before the dawn and that crap. And I just put a suicide hotline and said, you know, please promise us you'll call this. Because I'm sorry, I probably never had a conversation with you in my life.
So you put the line and said, please promise us you'll call this. By the way, I'm unfollowing you.
Peace.
Good luck. I hope that doesn't push you off the ledge.
I feel awful.
I have no time for that, honestly.
I feel awful about it.
So anyway, I mentioned that because I saw August 15th. Happy birthday, Dad.
Aww.
I love you, Daddy. Big Dick, we called him.
Big Dick.
His name was Richard, which is my middle name. Mm. But he was known as Dick Patterson, and everyone referred to him as Big Dick.
That's a great name.
Oh, isn't it?
Actually, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Patterson, like, that's the guy you want to, I don't know. You want to be
who's your supervisor? Oh, Dick Patterson.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. And he was a supervisor.
My car broke down and I took it over to old Dick Patterson's house. Mm-hmm. That's a great name.
Detective Dick Patterson.
Oh, yeah, I could go that route too.
Yes, yeah, tricky Dick.
Yeah.
Tricky Dicky.
Stuff from yesterday. A reaction to John Gallagher's very loud appearance. Thank you very much. A lot of people remember John. Think of him fondly. Q107 days, you know. A lot of people in our demographic, those were very special days when FM rock radio morning shows were a lot different than they are now. A lot more fun, a lot more flamboyant. They were. Sorry.
Well,
can't get around it.
We're a morning show. We're fun and flamboyant. Maybe softer around the edges as time has worn you like a fine pebble.
Yeah, but we're not a rock radio morning show.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That whole style, that whole genre. Yeah. Stuff like this didn't exist back then.
R.I.P. rock radio morning shows. R.I.P.
Thank you. So thank you, John Gallagher. And we could have him back from time to time.
Mm-hmm. He's fun.
Yeah, he is.
I enjoyed him.
Good guy. And he sent me a nice note afterwards and really appreciates it. And, you know, there's a guy that had a profile and, you know, was chewed up and spat out by the business and never really got another shot.
But listen, he's working for Pixar. He's landed on his feet, you know.
Another story from yesterday. I mentioned my Spotify was not working. My Spotify is now working, and I have to tell you, it was unbelievable. Phil gave me the helpline.
Uh-huh.
They don't do it by a phone number. They do it by a chat.
Live chat bubbles.
So
okay.
Here I'm thinking, this is out of Stockholm, right?
Oh, wow, yeah.
And how many subscribers would Spotify have?
Millions.
Millions and millions and millions. I get on this chat line. I'll tell you, within 15 seconds, someone said, "Hi, Fred.
Wow.
What can I help you with?"
Wow.
Within 4 minutes, the problem was solved.
That is amazing.
I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And she walked me through it so easy, because I'm not the best with that stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, she went into my account, apparently, and did a couple of things, and then explained to me what I had to do. I won't get into the detail. Mm-hmm. Although I could read the transcript if you want.
Sure.
Mr. Patterson, how are you today?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, to do with the accent, like Beaker.
Are you allowed to do that accent?
Well, Spotify is from Sweden.
So I know.
So it's accurate.
You know.
Is Phil
If it was India, you wouldn't be able to do Phil.
If it was a Swedish person, they couldn't do a Chinese accent. It doesn't go the other way.
That's Swedish.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know, man. That's slippery slope.
So that was a bonus part of my day, having that. Because, you know, I thought, is this going to be one of these ongoing things?
Mm.
And then I was afraid if the solution was totally deactivate the account and then reactivate, I would lose all my playlists.
Mm-hmm. And?
I didn't have to do
that. Have to do any of that. So, did she confirm that it was somebody trying to hack in? Or?
No.
Okay.
No. But she told me everything was safe. The only thing I had to do is my playlist remained, but they all. What was eliminated was my ability to listen to them offline. So she said, "Your playlist will be there. Just when we reactivate you, or whatever the word is." Again, I wasn't deactivated. She said, "When you reboot or whatever," she said, "just, you know, hit the download button again and all your playlists will download."
I don't think I've ever used that option.
It's fabulous.
I don't think I've ever used the offline option. I probably should.
Why, you like spending money?
I guess.
See, what you do around Wi-Fi, you download all your songs and then you can listen to them when you're offline.
But how do I do that? I think
it can't be settings. Simpler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, hang on.
I'll show you later, after the show. We're not doing it right
now. In real time.
We're not doing it right now. So you go into your app.
Okay, focus flow. I'm going to download you. No, how do I download? Oh, download.
Oh.
Oh. Nice.
Can we get this on Facebook Live? It's fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
the
highlight for today.
Guys, look at how fast it happened.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So that's good. 407 reaction was fast and furious. A lot of people saying, you know, it's not even an issue. Of course, it's illegal. So this buddy boy, Tim.
There are Tim.
He sent me the actual Highway Traffic Act law.
Mm-hmm.
How it's written is what I'm trying to say. And to be specific, it says the number plates shall not be obstructed by any device or material that prevents the entire number plates, including the numbers, from being identified by an electronic toll system. So it's right there in the Highway Traffic Act. In fact, there's many aspects. No other numbers to be exposed, number plate to be kept clean, total obstruction of prohibited, and then it goes on to say that electronic toll system, so if there's any attempt to obstruct, that is a fine as well.
Oh, wow.
What the fine is, I don't know. But I know that's pretty not hard to accept or believe, right?
No.
My observation was I saw a lot of them.
That's so fascinating.
I just did. And, I'm going back up this afternoon, and I'm gonna observe more and see if I continue to see them. But, it's one of those things. That highway is expensive. No excuse to cheat or steal. That's what you're doing. Sometimes you're forced into it.
You're not forced into it. You can ride the rest of the roads
like
the rest of us, please.
I know.
Ride in the 401.
But someone might say, listen, I have to feed my family, and the only way I can do it is by getting to certain locations, at a certain time. And if it wasn't for cheating on the 407, I wouldn't be able to feed my family.
Well, then, as my mother would say, well, then you shouldn't have had kids.
Yeah.
So yesterday I get a call from Doug Willems, who's my Brampton counselor.
Oh, he called you?
He called me.
Doug Willems?
This is the kind of weight that I carry in Brampton.
That's another great name, Doug Willems.
Yeah.
Willems.
Even better.
Okay.
Your worship is counselor.
This is the weight that I carry in Brampton, where they call me.
Tell me, because we still have to get your star on the Brampton Walk of Fame.
Which can be done.
And he'd be the guy.
Yeah.
Would he?
Oh, he'd be the guy.
There's a
form. I'm writing it down.
He would initiate.
Doug Willems.
I don't even know if they have a Brampton Walk of Fame.
They do. That was why. Okay. Lee Aaron came, and she was getting her star on the Brampton
She's famous in BC.
Yeah, she's famous in BC.
Yeah. We'll never know, because she's not coming back. Anyway, that's an old callback. Oh, my gosh.
That's a reference, ladies and gentlemen. Lee Aaron was on the show, and, I was never... Lee Aaron, I didn't know. And during the conversation, she mentioned something about living out west now, and I said, were you, popular out west, too? And
would they know who you are?
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah. Would they know who you are in BC? Listen, Lee Aaron is not a name that you hear in commonplace. Do you know who Lee Aaron is?
I don't.
Sean has no idea who she is. So, millennials would have been the better end. The millennials know who you are. And so it was sort of a moment that we could see her kind of bristle at that. She was big when she was big, Anyway.
And I apologize. And I said, I didn't know. And
that's right.
I was genuine. I said, I asked you that question because I didn't know. And if I don't fully appreciate your fame, I apologize for that, too. And when you do this every day, a couple hours of talk radio every day, mistakes are going to be made.
And to be fair to you, that wasn't the music that you played when you were in rock radio. It wasn't that kind of rock, really.
Like Eric Shankman of the Spin Doctors will be on the show after 8 o'clock, and who knows how that will go wrong.
Well, I've already taken one, so.
Yeah. That's good you did it at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock.
It's true.
Although maybe he would like... credit for walking on the sun.
For that, he probably liked the residuals.
Yeah.
Anyway, the counselor phoned me to tell me about next Thursday. You know, they do things differently in Brampton. Next Thursday is hockey day in Brampton.
Oh.
Yes, August, 21st, 22nd is hockey day in Brampton. Makes sense to me.
That's hilarious.
Hey?
Why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Street hockey, maybe? Or
maybe,
you know,
camps?
Guys, I could answer all these questions.
Oh, okay. Breaking news.
But here's what's going to happen. I think on next Tuesday, Patrick Brown is now the mayor.
Yeah.
Of Brampton.
Okay.
You know, and we all know about Patrick Brown, high profile, the way he got screwed out of the progressive conservative leadership.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You don't know Patrick Brown?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
You don't?
Even the youngins do.
Yeah.
No, I don't know who Patrick
You've got to get out of the theaters.
I know, I do.
And into the, you know, into the council chambers.
City Hall.
I really do need to be more up to date on political things.
I thought you'd know about Patrick Brown because there was a controversy swirling around him regarding being a bit of a creep, right?
Yeah, didn't he
being
have,
creepy.
Like, couple interns, maybe, or something?
I don't, I really don't remember.
Yeah, anyway, a lot of that.
I believe you.
But to the extent that he had to withdraw from the progressive conservative leadership.
Well.
And that's, that allowed, you know, who to take over.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm not answering those questions because I think Tuesday morning at about 8:45, Patrick Brown, mm-hmm. mayor of Brampton, is going to call in and tell us all about Hockey Day in Brampton.
Yay!
Cool. That's great.
Now, Jason Spezza will be part of this. I think he said Doug Gilmore. He named Cody Ceci, who's now a member of the Maple Leafs. A lot of these guys are going to take part. But I thought, being from Brampton, the least I could do would be to have the mayor on.
So let's ask him about the Walk of Fame. I'm on.
Right at that. Oh,
yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, let's do it on air.
Okay, you know what? I'll leave the room while you guys are doing it. Because it'll be weird for me to be sitting here. Because I was the guy that said I didn't want to be in the broadcast Hall of Fame.
I'll put it in Howard's ear, and he won't leave it alone. And then he'll try to figure out how much the mayor makes.
Yeah. So, he's going to be on Tuesday at about 8:45. Patrick Brown got some profile. He's going to be talking about Hockey Day in Brampton, which is going to have some players with some profile. So it'll all be good. And then you guys can do the bit route about the Walk of Fame. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I'm telling you, Fred.
I haven't worn a suit in years.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Do you have to wear a suit?
When you're named to the Walk of Fame?
You're like a radio person. Don't you wear something funky?
Okay.
Don't you wear a Humble and Fred t-shirt?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'll wear a tracksuit.
Yeah, a hip tracksuit.
And then another story from Brampton. Interesting, the other day, there's out in the east end of Brampton, there's an explosion.
Ah, yes.
There's an explosion in a house in the east end of Brampton. It blows out the side of the house.
Oh, that's awful.
Some people are injured. No one killed, including a two-year-old girl suffering burns. It was a terrible story.
Awful.
But whenever you hear those stories about houses blowing up for no reason, obviously there is a reason.
Right.
You immediately think, would it be gas?
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of.
Or would it be drugs?
Yeah.
Like a meth lab or something.
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't know. I don't know.
This morning, the police released the reason, the cause.
And?
A still.
Moonshine.
A booze still.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, in 2019, somebody in Brampton is making booze in their basement.
I mean, I guess it's pretty hip to do that, right?
From what respect is that hip?
No, well, it's like the craft beer of the alcohol world now.
Yeah.
It's just taken off.
Yeah, but craft beer, you buy at a craft beer place.
No. Well, no, people homebrew.
Yeah, that Furnace Room Brewery in Georgetown, that all started in the guy's furnace room basement.
Well, he did a good job and made a business of it because most so-called craft beer that's made in your basement suck.
So yeah,
it's horrid.
So they had some bathtub gin and some light jazz going. Yeah,
I don't know.
That's hilarious. Some opium.
Sorghum wine.
Yes,
sorghum.
Once they recover, I would love to have them on the show and say exactly what was the point of making home if for your own consumption, you and the family?
Yeah.
Were you selling it?
No, it's an artisanal.
Yeah, it's a lot of people are into that. Just making your own, so you change your own flavors.
Liquor? Yeah. Yes.
Haven't heard of Patrick Brown. I've never heard of making your own liquor. I've heard wine. I've heard beer, and they're usually horrid. Right?
I might not know the inner workings of the Conservative Party, but I can tell you about an artisanal elderflower vodka.
And moonshine's become a pretty big hipster drink.
Yeah, moonshine
now.
Is very hipster.
For some reason, it seems like, you know, that was the cheap liquor before, and now this is the expensive stuff.
Moonshine is very, just like crappy beer, too.
Do you drink it straight?
You can. There's different ones that they're flavored moonshines out there now, and it almost, you can get ones that taste like bubble gum and like Gatorade, mm-hmm. or you can get ones that are just like almost straight moonshine, the old style.
How do you know so much?
He's of the age.
I drink a little bit.
Yeah,
not a lot.
You don't make it.
Not a lot.
You drink moonshine?
I drink moonshine. Yeah, you can, because you can get like really fancy ones at the LCBO.
He's right.
Like that now.
He's right.
Well, legalized.
Okay, yeah, but wait
yeah.
a minute. That LCBO, that's off the table. That's not what we're talking about.
No, but if your friend is like, oh, my friend Brad makes the best moonshine. It's fantastic. He's put, you know, a rosemary extract in it or whatever. You got to taste it. Yeah, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. This is like part of the whole hipster Dakota Tavern, bearded, mustachey.
So
the year is 1900.
And what category would this fall under? Rye, rum,
I don't
gin,
know.
Or does it? Is it you choose?
Liquor,
hard maybe? Liquor, maybe.
What is it?
Like a liqueur? Not really. Oh. I don't know. That's a good question.
I would. It depends, but I bet it's like a rye. Mm. That would be my guess.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I can go get a 40-pounder of Bell's blended scotch at the LCBO for $40. That's, you know, 40 ounces, $40,
yeah.
I think I'm going to take that route long before I knock on the side door of a house in Brampton.
Yes.
And buy a 40-pounder from him.
Fair enough.
You know, can you imagine?
No, man. I don't,
no way. And this moonshine that you make in the stills in your basement, do you mix it with anything?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Like you would have a moonshine and Coke or Diet Coke, moonshine and tonic.
I feel like you'd put it with, listen.
It depends what you want, your flavor.
If you're in that world, you're whipping it up with egg whites and a sprig of thyme. Like, if you're in that world, you know what I mean? Or you're making some cool, what's it called? Mixologist kind of cocktail out of it. You're putting the lid with the smoke infused. Mm-hmm. Do you know, have you seen that?
Dry ice around.
Yeah, that, you know, and it comes to your table and it's like smoke and they take the lid off.
The flaming Homer.
Smells like a burnt forest.
I find this fascinating. So I start this story by thinking, what kind of a nut job is this guy?
Meanwhile.
You know. Like, it reminds me of, like, the Beverly Hillbillies or something.
I mean, it could be more in that. We're giving them a lot of hipster credence, but...
Right.
It might not be.
Although, I'll tell you, too... From what I gather, the area that they gave in Brampton, like, I think it was sort of upscale.
Yeah, it's Brevon, isn't it? You're talking about East End, like Castlemore around there?
I think
Castlemore.
So.
Yeah.
So that's somebody that's got, you know what? It's somebody that probably was into winemaking at one point, maybe has a little cantina in the basement, mm-hmm. and then they probably got sausages that they're drying down there, too. You know, it's probably that world,
Prosciutto.
I think. But it's really sad that this sort of cool, fun hobby has burnt a two-year-old. That's awful.
Well, and I, you know...
That's so awful.
And if making your own means that you create a still that builds up so much pressure...
Yeah.
Fueled by natural gas, I would imagine, that it can blow the side of your house out. Again, I'll go to the LCBO and get my bells.
For $40.
For $40.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's awful.
Yeah. So that stories from Brampton yesterday. So that's right. You guys will actually do that. So when Patrick Brown calls in, you're going to like confront him on the air?
I have to just make sure I'm here that day. But yeah. I think so. I think we should. I'll talk to Howard.
And that wouldn't be... I would imagine anyone on the Walk of Fame would be recommended. So this isn't...
Fred, you should be... There is a Walk of Fame in Brampton, and you should be on it.
They have a website for
this. And actually, what's going to be amazing is you're going to be right next to Lee Aaron. So it's going to be part of that.
You know, I've lived there for close to 40 years now.
You're Brampton's treasure.
One of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's many Brampton treasures.
If not you, who? That's what I'll pose to the mayor.
I would say.
If not Fred, who? If not when? If not now, when?
Yeah, Patrick Brown will pretend he knows who I am. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know, Fred. Yeah, yeah. Funny 820, you can watch us on Twitch TV, Facebook Live, Humble and Fred Show available this week without Howard. After the break, we're going to have a Phil Hong Hong Kong report. There's an update.
Oh, wow.
Supplies are running out, allowing your skill alive. Guess it's the Humble and Fred Show. Without Humble, he returns on Monday. Out golfing, out east, returning today, I believe. Monday, he'll, you know, further describe the experience he's had in this wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous country in which we live. And part of this wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous country in which we live is the city of Brampton. Brampton's great, eh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, you guys were taught, not to belabor this point, but why not? Who else is on the Brampton Walk of Fame?
All right, you're ready.
Or who's on it now?
Here's the full list, and if anyone in Brampton right now wants to check it out, it's just in front of the Rose Theater, okay? We all know where that is, right downtown. So here's the list. Lee Aaron, Trey Anthony. We might remember her from Da Kink in My Hair. She wrote that. Okay, no? Okay.
No, that's my Patrick Brown.
Yeah, okay.
Global TV series.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's CBC.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah, all right,
like,
Phil, you know everything.
She's a playwright and other things. Perkins Bull is a writer, apparently.
Okay.
Michael Cera, we all know him.
Yes.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced Chera, but I'll let that one slide.
Yeah, he went to high school in Brampton.
He did.
He's often seen in Brampton at Mom and Dad's.
Mm-hmm. Keisha Shante, the singer.
All right.
I know the name, but I couldn't tell you what she sings. Director X, and then it says director. I don't know who Director X is. Andy Donato, who's a cartoonist.
Right.
Athali Graham, an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
Rupi Kaur, a poet. Scott Lale, who's a theater director, writer.
Mm-hmm.
Exo Levi, singer-songwriter. Rohinton Mistry.
Anybody we know.
Author. I'm getting there. Russell Peters. Heard of him?
Oh, know him.
Yeah. Yeah. Tara Oram. Doesn't even say what she did.
No.
Zarqua Narwaz, who's a documentarian. Jack Reed.
Okay.
Johnny Reed.
So we can certainly
put you
on the
Hall of
Fame.
I got three more. Jordan Smith, Alan Thicke, and Scott Thompson.
Mm. Big.
Yeah.
I think I can make that list.
I think you can make that list. Like, listen, you've got Alan Thicke, but then you've got, you know, a person no one knows. So
you're talking Alan Thicke, Russell Peters, Scott Thompson, Michael Cera, not really in that league. But some of those other people, I can bump them to the side.
You can give Keisha Shante a run for her money.
Oh, my God. I just can't imagine going down to that area and
Fred?
Seeing my name on the sidewalk.
Fred,
I just can't imagine.
If I can make this happen for you... Imagine, my job here is done.
Imagine long after I'm dead, my sweet little grandchildren frolicking along through Brampton, and there's granddaddy's...
I'm going to start the process today.
Is it a star?
I don't know.
Or is it a stone or something?
What do they put on the sidewalk? You haven't seen that?
I don't know.
It's not like a star, like Grauman's?
Okay, I'm reading it here. Yeah. It's called the Brampton Arts Walk of Fame. Yeah, no, I think it's a star.
And I would qualify as arts, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Oh, well, what's great about you,
I've never painted a picture.
Here's our pitch. Here's our angle. Because I don't see any other broadcasters in there. You're it.
Mm.
So they're good for playwrights. They got a lot of playwrights in there. So
poets and the like.
Yeah. Mm. And
you know what that is? That's the committee that decides.
Mm-hmm.
They all get so snooty and holier than thou, thinking, oh, I want a playwright because, you know, I'm into that type of thing.
Well, they're all making their own homebrew in the basement.
Oh, I do.
Those people.
What, we're going to include someone from rock radio who had a character named Mr. Goohead?
Imagine it's not you, it's just a star for Mr. Goohead.
Are you kidding me?
I could see that.
Some of the things he has said on the airwaves, I think not.
Inducted for poetry, yeah. Mr. Goohead.
Now let's get serious. Philip, play your music.
Oh, right. It's
okay. Yeah, Philip, what's happening? Mm. Tell us.
Well, it's time for the Hong Kong update.
You lost your sheet.
So here's a track from Leslie Cheung. That's another Cheung.
Leslie Cheung.
Lots of Cheung. So
8-hour rock ride with Leslie Cheung.
Who's been dead for 14 years. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, someone's helping in here. Well, the problem with Hong Kong now is things are getting back to normal. The airport's running again. Oh, this is a terrible version. So basically, Donald Trump has come in and tweeted about the issue. And so there's a tweet I'm going to read. I'm going to try not doing it in a Donald sound, but Donald voice. But he's talking about meeting the president of China personally to fix the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And he would stake the U.S.-China trade dispute on the success of how Hong Kong will reform or change or whatever, or solve the dispute. So out of a city of 7 million people, the U.S. economy is now in jeopardy for that reason.
Wait, you lost me
so
somewhere.
So President Donald Trump tweeted about... Yeah, Leslie Cheung. That wasn't Leslie Cheung. It was some karaoke guy.
Okay.
Stupid YouTube.
So Donald Trump tweeted...
So Donald Trump tweeted about the Hong Kong dispute. They've been hands-off until now, and now he's saying he's staking the success of the U.S.-China trade talks based on how China treats Hong Kong.
I don't even think... Okay. Yeah. All right. Before we unpack that, what's the tweet?
Yeah.
Well, I know President Xi of China, Xi.
And he loves me.
He's a great
We're really
leader,
good friends.
Very much. Mm-hmm. Respect of his people.
He loves me so much.
He is also a good man mm-hmm. and a tough business. What?
All right.
He's a good man and a tough business?
In a tough business. Being a leader of a country, obviously.
Tough business. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I have zero doubt that if President Xi wants to quickly and humanely solve the Hong Kong problem, he can do it. Personal meeting? Question mark. So he wants to get into this.
Okay. All
so, right. What's your analysis, Phil? Where are we at with Hong Kong?
The funny thing is, this is actually a very sane tweet from a U.S. president in
really?
Comparison to what he used
somebody
to
say. Else wrote it.
Well, he probably yeah. somebody else did. Yeah. Okay. But the thing is, I'd like to quote Bill Clinton on this one because in the 90s he once spoke to the governor of Hong Kong when it was British, and he said, "Well, obviously we have to support this. How could the United States be against democracy?" And then a year later, he was talking about not having sexual relations with women, but that's what he said. So this is the U.S. policy on Hong Kong.
It better be democratic.
Yeah, it better be democratic and stay democratic.
Well, that's why there's always been tensions, you know, between China and the U.S.
And so China's blaming the U.S. for the protests. They think that somehow there's 2 million spies in Hong Kong who are angry enough to get out there.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
They blame foreign intervention. I've had debates with my father about this because he takes China's side of this dispute. I'm like, wait, come on. Foreign actors. You're communist China. What do you think communism is? It's Russian through Germany, right?
Okay, settle down.
Okay, all right. I'm getting lost on the
so
trail.
Am I, but anyway. That's the beauty of a Phil Hong Hong Kong report. It ends, right?
Yeah.
It ends with less clarity than it began with.
It does. I was in it, and then I started thinking about the cashews that are downstairs.
Okay. Phil, how about a little music out of the Hong Kong report?
Did a flat well.
Get a better version. Mm-hmm. Why'd you play that version?
I don't know.
That was Phil Hong's Hong Kong report. Amanda, tell us a little bit about Strain Print.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. You know what I love about Strain Print? It helps me personally, yep, me, use cannabis better. With the free Strain Print companion app, it'll help you learn much more rewarding and more beneficial your experience about how cannabis can be. Well, I said that great. But let's keep going. The app can be easily downloaded for free on your phone, on your Google Play, your Apple phone, or if you want to check it out at work, you can go to strainprint.ca. It's like the Fitbit of weed cannabis. It helps you use it responsibly, but it goes a lot deeper than that. There's tracking apps so you can kind of figure out how your cannabis interacts with your body. You can talk to other people. You can work with the communities, learn what strain works best for you. So go to strainprint.ca or get that app on your phone today.
Hey, as a property owner, you have the right to freedom. Freedom to choose, freedom to change, freedom to kick back and watch while a bunch of other guys do all the work. Choose Freedom Construction when you need general contractors who take care of all the details. Freedom Construction provides custom-made kitchens, bathrooms, basements for builders and residential customers. Extremely reliable, these guys. We had them in here, and nothing but a good experience. FreedomConstruction.ca. Choose a company built on quality, pride, and integrity. And not to take the spotlight off Phil... I heard him say this to Sean just prior to the show. He said, "Sean, you know, the good old days, people didn't have sex with each other. They did each other."
That's what I remember from the 90s. That's how people said that, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
In radio.
We were talking about the spin doctors in the 90s and what was popular. And you said back in the 90s, people say they did each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's right, actually. Mm-hmm. I do remember those days. I did some
What was it? There was a pop song about a woman doing me right.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's what we said. What do we say now?
Well, have sex. The F word.
Bang.
Yeah. Bang it.
Do we say bang?
Yeah, bang is still a thing.
Well, bang's been around for a while.
But, you know, I don't have that. I guess the difference for me in the 90s is in the 90s that was a conversation. I'm not going to say I did my husband last night.
So this is not misogynist or anything. It was used on both sides?
Oh, for sure used on both sides, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're talking like the Friends era. In fact, I think in Friends it was used, and that might be how it became part of the lexicon, I think.
So is that from like the Tom Petty song, Don't Do Me Like That? Is he meaning don't do me like that? You can do better than that, can't you?
Yeah.
Can't you at least get on top?
What was the one? Cut me in the shower? Wasn't me. What was
oh,
that
no, that's
one?
Shaggy.
Yeah.
It was I love that song.
Yeah. That's a great song.
That's on my summer playlist that I can now play on Spotify.
That's so great.
Because my problem has been fixed. That's a great... I love that song.
Really? Do you really?
Oh, I love it. I just think it's great.
What? Just you love all the places that they did each other? There it is.
No, I just love... I love the tune.
Okay.
The words are funny.
They are.
Neat.
They are.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't picture you, you know, it's rocking great... out in Brampton with this out of your tinted windows. I just wouldn't.
No, I think it's neat. And it's a neat little summer song in a summer playlist.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think I've given it its due. I think... butt naked. Picture this. We were both butt naked. In case you weren't picturing it, picture this. We were both butt naked banging on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, somewhat graphic.
A little bit graphic.
Yeah. We know exactly what he was talking about.
I love how he's like, wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me.
But what I don't understand, Phil, back in the 90s, how old were you?
Oh, probably... Oh, Jesus. 10 and 98.
So you were not
you weren't doing anybody.
No,
back.
But we were talking about doing it because, you know, when you're 10.
Right. So
no,
you
but
would say it.
You
getting
went,
into
but
that.
This is different. I wasn't doing it. It was doing her or doing him.
Yeah.
So you were saying I would like to do her back then?
Well, not me personally. Like, you would hear it on TV or radio, and then I'd be on little chats with Cousin Mike like a little girl. And I'd be like, oh, my God, someone did someone. Like, it'd be in the news or something, right?
Honestly, something's telling me it was on Friends, and that's how we started saying it. I don't know why I think that, but there were a few things from Friends, and I think that was one of them, and then everyone started saying it. Like, go commando. You know how we all say, go commando?
Right.
That's from Friends. I remember that episode where he's like, are you going commando? And it was so funny to say commando. Like, they made up a lot of those 90s terms, so my guess is that's where it's from. But yeah, I used to say it.
I think I heard go commando before Friends.
But you might have. I didn't. I know I didn't.
Which is odd because, well, what is odd is the whole go commando thing because it all depends on what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stiff jeans with a seam down the crotch. It's not the most comfortable thing.
Right.
To have your clank on one side or the other.
Well,
you know what I'm
know.
Saying?
I don't have a clank.
But some nice...
I have a clink.
It looks like going commando is a 1970s reference, in fact, in a magazine.
Is
about,
it?
Yeah, oh,
is Vietnam
it really?
War veterans not wearing underwear. There you
oh,
go.
Oh, well,
you
know, Friends was the first time I heard it.
So if doing that person or I'm going to do her, I want to do her, I want to do him was a 90s thing. See, I missed that because I was... married, happily married.
So what would you have
so
said?
So I wouldn't... And it would have been inappropriate for me, someone other than my wife, to see, like, say, Jennifer Aniston on Friends and go, I'd like to do her.
That's fair.
Maybe I did say that.
I don't know. But what would you...
More than once.
What would you say pre-wife days, if you can remember back, what would you have said, like, in high school, not junior high, but high school, university? Oh, yeah, well...
Well, I was... Well, I was sort of high class, so I would say I would like to have sexual relations with her, probably.
Yeah.
What I would have said. But that's me. I was from the nice area, the nice part of Scarborough. That's what we would say.
And what do the kids say in Georgetown, Sean?
No, I don't know. We've always kind of said something like banging. Or
bang, yeah.
Screw, that's another one.
Screw, yeah.
The term do is a Shakespeare
Really?
Reference.
Shakespeare.
Yes.
Okay. Give us context.
So it comes from the book of Titus Andronicus. And so, villain, I have done thy mother. That's not good.
Oh, and that clearly means...
So that means to copulate.
Shakespeare had a lot of them. Shakespeare, I think it was Othello, where they said the beast with two backs. I always liked that one.
Is Shakespeare on the Brampton Walk of Fame?
Shakespeare Jr.
Not yet.
In Mississauga.
Not yet. Oh, those guys at Brampton, they'll take credit for that. In Brampton, they want to take credit for everything. Oh, they're going to put Shakespeare on that Walk of Fame. You watch. And before they put Fred Patterson on. You watch.
Yeah, right.
Why would we have Fred Patterson on there when we still haven't put Shakespeare on? I'll have to leave the room for that conversation. I'll be blushing.
You'll be blushing.
I'll be bashful.
Maybe we have it in private. Maybe I start the negotiations prior to the conversation, and then I'll drop it in Howard's ear, and he'll put it in right at the end. Like, you'll be like, hockey, hockey, hockey. So, in other news, Walk of Fame.
I noticed this empty sidewalk space over here in Brampton.
Yeah. On Queen Street. Yeah.
Further to doing someone, traditionally, would that be the word? Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
A man with dirty fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have done a guy with dirty fingernails?
Oh. Perpetually dirty?
You look at his fingernails.
Like, is he a gardener?
Well, see, that's a good point.
Because I always think, what makes your fingernails dirty? That's what I always think. If you're a gardener, okay, I'm into it. If you're a hairdresser, you probably have dye under your fingernails.
Okay.
So that would be another reason.
Right.
Other than that...
Mechanic.
That's kind of hot. So I'm going to go with yes. I would do a dirty fingernail man. But I have to kind of know the... I would look at them and be like... What's the story here? Oh, yeah, you fix cars? Or, oh, you do old ladies' hair and tie it? Cool.
As I get older, my nails grow quicker. My hair is growing quicker. My nails are growing
quicker.
That's
fascinating.
So, a couple of times this summer, Delise has said to me, look at your fingernails, and there's might be a little line of dirt. And the idea, the problem is my fingernails grow at such a rate now, I almost can't keep up with them. I can actually watch them grow. Look, they're growing.
You have nice hands.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But, so a couple of times there's been a little line of dirt. But that's the thing, as I said to her, my fingernails are growing quickly, and I'm the outside guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have to service the pool. I'm in the garden. I'm watering the flowers. I'm cutting the grass.
Mm-hmm.
So if my... nails get away from me a little bit, just a little bit, then all of a sudden I might have some dirt. And if that at that moment I don't see it and I don't clean it, then it doesn't leave the best impression as far as she's concerned.
Perhaps you should have a little brush in the car. I like to do all my personal grooming in the car.
That's exactly what she said.
That's so funny.
She did.
Really?
She said get a nail brush.
Yeah.
She said you have a shower in the morning, just get in under your nails.
Buffety boo.
Or keep your nails clipped low during the summer season. Well, you should. All seasons.
Do your nails clip low.
So it's different perspectives because you, like... Yeah. When I said to Delish, yeah, but I do all the stuff outside, to her, that's no excuse, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
And no, it would be, that was no excuse. It's like, you do stuff outside, so you should be on top of your nails even more then. Not only that, in this capacity, where I'm meeting people all the time and sitting at a table every morning with people that I meet, it might be a good idea to keep my nails clean.
It's probably, I mean, it's in general a good idea. I'll tell you something. I knew a girl one time whose mother, unfortunately, met a tragic end, and she got sepsis or something like that.
Sepsis?
Yeah, and so it took over her body, and they traced it back to dirt under her fingernails. Can you believe that?
Get out.
So she had some kind of, as my mother-in-law would say, crania, some kind of crud under her fingernails, and... it took them a while to figure out how did this enter, whatever bacteria, enter her body. And they figured it out that it went in through underneath her fingernails. So you got to keep them clean for your own health, because I don't want you dying of no sepsis, because then I'll have to do a grief post on Facebook.
Yeah.
Be like, you know.
And it was so unnecessary.
Fred Patterson.
Fred's gone, and it was so unnecessary.
He always championed my work. I'd text him and say, I'm almost there. I'll get there right at 7.
And my toenails too. My feet. Mm-hmm. I got nice feet too. I don't care what anybody says if I stay on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, Delise and I went and had pedicures.
Yes, talk about that. So, is that something you guys do normally?
No.
Okay.
It was the first time ever. It was great.
What?
And it was a couple's pedicure, and we sat beside each other, and it was neat. And it was the most Oh, man, it was... You've had a pedicure.
Oh,
and they
yes.
rub your feet, and then I had the hot wax, and it was just ecstasy.
Oh, you did the hot wax.
I did it all. And it was just ecstasy.
I love that you did this. I love that this is part of your relationship now.
Right.
I love that you're telling other men who might be listening to go out and do this.
See, this is new to my world, because when I first heard the term couples massage, right,
mm-hmm.
I thought you got two.
You got two like people at the same
two
time.
Two people, a couple.
No, no, you just got two massages. I got a couple of massage.
I thought you meant like a couple. Like
No.
Couple
no,
massage.
And they're
no. The joke there was. I thought a couple's massage was I got two massages.
Okay. That's right. I like the idea of a couple massaging you and they're right. working out their like all problems right. while they're
yeah. What's wrong with you?
Do his feet better.
Highly recommend it. Fantastic.
Great.
Felt good. It was like $35. My feet, my beautiful feet look better than they normally do. Although I've had, sometimes in the summer, my feet get so beat up and my nails are so long, I've had people actually, other women, up at the trailer go, oh my God, your feet look horrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And one day, a woman came up on the dock with a little a suitcase full of tools, and my feet were so bad, she did them right there on the dock.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no. It was fine.
That's weird to me.
Yeah, but I knew her well enough.
That's
was
still
good.
Weird. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing I can't stand. It's when the dryness of a foot, mine or... somebody that I sleep mm-hmm. with, the dryness of a foot sticks to a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't with that. I can't.
Right.
I can't.
All right.
So get that stuff buffed and waxed, folks.
Okay, before the next break, with us in the studio, they came in this morning. You didn't hear a dog bark. That's another guy, Tim, the Tim guy who sent in the thing. He said, when Stan's not here, Phil should bark every time someone comes in.
I should bark. I'm Barker. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Ian Service.
Hello,
and his
hello.
Business partner, John Russell of TS2. Is this what we're calling the business?
Rome Phone.
Oh, okay. This is another subsidiary.
Yeah, Rome yeah. Phone.
Rome Phone.
I like
this
that.
This is our joint venture.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about... Tell us. I didn't know anything about this.
And this is a... hi, John. John Russell. How
hello.
Are you, buddy? John, you were traveling recently, and you
yeah.
had a very good experience with Gig Sky.
Yeah, really good.
Tell us about it.
My wife and I, so we took a trip a couple weeks ago to Italy and France.
Ooh.
It's our first Europe trip. We've been waiting for a while to do that. And Gig Sky was amazing. So I signed up to get the free SIM card,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up using the Humble and Fred...
That's special.
Promo code.
Yes.
Got my $5
uh-huh.
credit.
Let's remind everybody what that is.
Well, if you visit our website, you'll find it.
I believe
click on
it's
the banner,
HL5.
Right?
Yeah.
Click on the banner.
Yeah. So okay. you did that.
Yeah, I did that. And the SIM cards came in the mail. It was very good. And then they actually reimbursed me for those. So that was nice.
Oh,
they
wow.
came free.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice surprise. And I went through the setup process. I thought I was being clever by going through the setup process before mm-hmm. I left. I don't know if it made a difference, but once I got there, because I have just a regular cell phone, not unlike some people who have fandangled dual SIM card phones.
You're looking at Ian's
just
service.
I'm just a regular Joe here.
HF500, that's the promo code.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
HF500.
There you
that's
go.
It.
There you
I
go.
Remember now.
Mm-hmm.
We flew into Rome, land in Rome, get to our hotel, and I swapped the SIM cards. Very easy to do, as long mm-hmm. as you have done it before. Ran into a bit of trouble just because I thought I had gone through all those steps,
mm-hmm.
and then it wasn't activating. So I hopped on the hotel Wi-Fi and contacted Gig Sky support, and they were back to me in like 5 minutes.
Amazing.
Which, yeah, because I was already in a different time zone.
Yeah.
I didn't know, you know,
right
what,
on.
what would be going on.
Yeah, you'd think, oh, no, we're not going to have Wi-Fi until 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
that's
so
great.
We were exhausted. We took a nap, and then, yeah, I got up, and Gig Sky was back to me in like a few minutes. Nicola, I think, from Gig Sky, so shout out
right.
to Nicola. And then... within like two or three email exchanges, it was just like, try this, try this, try this. And I was up and running. It was amazing. Because we were hoping to get out, you know, and start walking around Rome, right. Check out the Colosseum, and I didn't want to get lost.
No.
So.
No, it's fantastic. So you sign up, and it's not like, okay, now you're on your own. They're there to support you no matter where you are.
Yeah, it was really, really great.
And then you walked around Rome. You walked around in Rome and noticed every restaurant has the same menu.
I'll tell you something about Rome. You want that in Rome, because if you're trying to use... if you're a Rogers or Bell customer and you're trying to use your normal roaming, it actually doesn't track in Rome. So you want the gigs guy.
It's crazy expensive too.
Yeah, it is expensive. Yeah. More than you think.
It was just great. They pretty much saved the trip. I used it a lot for maps. Mm-hmm. I used it a lot for translation too.
You know,
if you catch a few Italian or French words that you don't understand and you need to quickly look it up. It was great for that.
Well, that's fantastic, John Russell. Thank you for that story. Ian Service, you haven't said much. Say hi, Ian.
Hi. How's it going?
Thanks for bringing John in, and thanks, because they're a great sponsor of ours, and it's great to hear good things about people that support the Humble and Fred Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, fellas. Funny 820, you're watching on Twitch, Facebook Live. It's the Humble and Fred Show. We'll be back after the break, hopefully, with Eric Schenkman of the Spin Doctors.
Should be coming in.
Okay, it's Humble and Fred Show. Fred, Amanda, Philip, Sean, intern Justin, we're all here. Howard's not. He'll be back on Monday. I have made the executive decision that I will be on location from the Tin Palace Monday morning.
Ah.
Hooked up through one of our many services. Right, Sean?
Correct.
Do you want me on Zoom or Skype?
Definitely got to Zoom that one. That'll be cool.
Okay.
We got this figured out now.
Okay, we
got
to figure it out.
Any mistakes.
But that's what we're going to do. Because really, it's hard to believe. I'm going away for an extended period of time. I have business overseas.
a little meeting or two.
So it's really my last bang at the trailer this year.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem with summer travel. I have the same problem.
I'll make that sacrifice. Meanwhile, tell us about Clear Air Solutions.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where we're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philip?
Off we go. Clear Air Solutions is the official mold remediation company of H&F. And, of course, our old friend KJ Preston runs this wonderful firm. They offer asbestos abatement, including vermiculite, as well. They also take out formaldehyde. I like how they also help with formaldehyde. Older houses probably have asbestos in the house, so they also do mold and asbestos testing. They're fully certified. They're fully insured. Properly trained professional staff with 15 years in the business. You cannot go wrong with Clear Air Solutions. That's clearairsolutions.com and our friend KJ Preston.
Mm-hmm.
Ringside?
I will. KJ Preston is a funny guy, so is,
yes, he is.
Dr. Alkesh Patel, the self-proclaimed family doctor and regular dude. He'll actually be with us next Thursday and talking about all sorts of things, maybe some health concerns that you might have come up with this summer. Ringside MD is healthcare in your corner. So try their peace of mind plan. It helps you anywhere in the world. So just like our friend John in Rome, in France, you need a little help. You don't want to go to one of those French doctors. I went to one once and they put caffeine cream all over my belly. That was me in France. Don't do that. Go with Ringside MD and follow their peace of mind.
I'll do
plan.
That.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Put caffeine on my belly. You can find them anywhere you'd like. Facebook, Instagram, Ringside Clinic is where you want to go. Or you can go to their website, ringsideclinic.ca.
8 o'clock, Eric Schenkman of the Spin Doctors. Was supposed to be here. Is it after 8 o'clock yet? It's 8:03.
It's 8:03. Will he come?
Wednesday night... he performed in Chinatown at Grossman's Tavern. I wonder if it was a long, hard night.
Have you ever been to Grossman's?
No.
Let me tell you, that's a pretty cool place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, that's the edge of Kensington Market, right? Yeah, that, like, northeastern.
Probably get some moonshine there, yeah. I had a first date there once, and, yeah, stay with that guy for a few years after. Grossman's is one of those places that's still there, you know, because a lot of those are gone. Those historic, like the Rex, like those historic.
Isn't the Drake like that? Or is that heritage?
Well, the thing is, the Drake was.
See, I don't know. I'm very ignorant. I haven't frequented your nightclubs in years.
Well, the Grossman's, I mean, the Drake was like a flop house, right?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if it had a bar. Maybe it did, but it's.
What is a flop house? I forget.
A place where you flop? Yeah.
You would sleep there?
Yeah, it's a place where you can rent a room for like $20.
Like a hostel.
Yeah, it's you know, not for the senior side of life. But that was what the Drake was. But of course, long ago they gentrified it. And Grossman's hasn't been gentrified. It still lives right where it's always lived, on Spadina. And they will do, among other things, they have a New Orleans brunch, I think, on Sundays, and it is a phenomenal thing to go be part of. You go, you drink a lot, you eat a little, and there's like, they'll do a parade around the bar. It is,
what?
Yeah, honestly, it is a fun, ridiculous time. I think it's on Saturday, maybe Saturdays, actually.
Well,
Sundays are Saturdays.
To fill time before Eric Schenkman gets here, let's tell me what's on the menu.
Of Grossman's Tavern.
Drunken Strip,
call
maybe, Po Boy.
Call it up. Look it up? Okay.
Give me the lunch menu, give me the dinner menu. I'm kidding.
Our new sponsor, Grossman's.
No, I'm kidding.
Are you?
No, I'm kidding. Because I said to you guys, I exclaimed during the break, if Eric Schenkman doesn't show up, we've got to come up with some content.
Well, I have it here. Grossman's Tavern since 1943. It's the city's longest running live music venue and Toronto's self-described home of the blues. Rock, folk, roots, jazz acts are also at home here. Never a cover. Oh, never a cover. That's interesting. Live music. Yeah.
Well, anyways, Eric Schenkman played Grossman's last night. And right now he's not playing the Humble and Fred show.
At the Gross Man's Tavern.
I confirmed this a while ago. You know what? I'll tell you the history of this one was, it was, I was angling for Sass Jordan. She was going to come in, and then she's not ready yet to come in because she's not done all her stuff.
Is there someone we could contact right now about Mr. Schenkman?
I'll email Eric. Yeah. And he said, actually, well, how about this guy? And I said, oh, that's a good idea. And then we confirmed it, and then we had a little back and forth.
How come he chose Thursday to come in when he performed last night? Usually these artists like to come in before the performance so that you can get people to go to it.
That is true.
Why was this different?
Well, this might have been me. I might have, because I usually end, I used to back in the day, end the week with music for you guys.
Right.
Back when we were more satellite-y.
Was Eric going to perform?
Well, I don't know, but I always sort of did that, and I always liked you to have a nice guest at the end of the week.
No, no.
Or no. That's guest.
Nice. So I had prepared some notes here. I can repeat them if he comes. Can't I? Sure, why not? I'll just emphasize them more.
Hang on. I'm just going to message him back right now.
Okay, what did he say?
Nothing. Well, he said, yep, it's confirmed. So.
Well, he might just be a bit of a straggler.
Yeah. It could be.
Could be the traffic around here. That might be the reason.
He could be like my wife, 20 minutes late for everything.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hard. That's a hard thing.
Yeah. How much do I want to talk about this on the show if she's listening?
I don't know. But I'll tell you what I always do. I always give Marco jobs. He'll sit and stew, and I'll be like, did you unload the dishwasher? No. Well, that's something that I will do before we leave. So if you want to do that, hey, I got another job for you. Can you write the birthday card to my mom? Like, he'll sit there and start to not seethe, but he'll sit there and start to just stare at me while I'm packing. Usually it's when we're trying to get on a plane and I'm packing. And
so why is he seething if you're doing all the work?
Marco likes to be very early to the airport, like very early.
Why?
I don't know. It's a thing.
Although I have a thing. You know, if you're sitting around at home waiting to go to the airport, you might as well just be at the airport sitting around, because then you're safe. You know, you're there.
I agree. But there's certain things. I like the house to be in a good place before we leave. He does,
too.
Oh, my
wife is quite obsessed with that. Yeah. Also, even when we leave the Tin Palace, it gets a thorough cleaning.
Same with the cottage,
When we arrive the next time, you walk right into a pristine environment.
But isn't that nice when you walk into a pristine environment? Doesn't it feel good? Or when you walk home, you come home and you're like, oh, everything's clean.
No, I agree. Listen, that's no criticism whatsoever. And yeah, if we have to leave for 8 o'clock, it's usually 8:20, something like that. But I think I've been good over the years. I used to stand at the front door and huff and puff and say, come on, are you ready? And then, but now I figure, you know what, that's my life. And then I, you know, for a few years I tried the deceit way, where saying, you know, if we were supposed to leave at 8:30, I'd say we got to go at 8.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That worked for a while.
Well, my
that way, when we were supposed to, I'd say we got to go at 8, when it was supposed to be 8:30, I'd gain 10 minutes, because I knew she was going to be 20 minutes late, right? So I actually gained 10 minutes out of it. Mm-hmm. See the strategy there, Amanda?
I'm sorry that I'm texting and it's not...
Is Marco that smart? What?
He is, but the problem we have is the opposite. I'll say, okay, I'm aiming for... This happened last week. I'm aiming for noon. I'm aiming for leaving at noon. Our flight wasn't until 4 p.m., but I'm aiming for leaving at noon. And he was like, great.
10 a.m.?
We didn't get out until, well, it was 12:30, but then he had to order the Uber, and then I was using the time while I'm waiting for the Uber to do the final putting the cord in my backpack, and do I have my book, and I don't need all the stuff that's in my wallet, like all that. So I'm using even the Uber. So by the time we're in the Uber, it's like 1:45, and he's like, you said noon. I wouldn't have been ready if you... And I said I was aiming for noon, knowing that that would be 12:30, which is still plenty of time for a 4 o'clock flight that we've already checked in to. But that's our process.
Out of every five times you travel, how often would there be some tension? Every time?
I would say about 70%.
Really?
Yeah, that Uber ride...
Can you cut the guy a break a little more often than that?
I'm trying. I'm busy.
Yeah, but I know. But the thing is, if you can be... Here's my point. If you can be consistently 20 minutes late, you can be consistently 20 minutes on time or early. It's all planning.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I looked in at the spare bedroom yesterday, and Delise has already started putting her stuff together for our trip. So next Friday night, we leave at 11 p.m.
Do you use your spare bedroom to pack the suitcase?
Well, she does.
I do, too. That's funny.
I use the foot of my bed. It takes 15 minutes for what I do.
Right.
To me, there's not a lot of decisions to be made. A suitcase is only so big. You can only take so much stuff.
Right.
You understand this?
I do, but shoes come into play.
Her challenge is, what things am I going to take? So she knows it's only going to take this much stuff. But what of that this much stuff am I going to be trying to decide over the week should be part of this much stuff?
I have my big pile, then it's my maybes and my for sures. So the for sures go in, and then I have room for like two or three of the maybes, and then maybe one for sure comes out.
And when we're traveling often, she'll say, oh, should I take this? Should I take that? Or what do you think of that? And I said, you know, hon, We're going on a trip. We're not going to a fashion show, right?
But you are, because you're going to take photos, and those photos live forever.
No, I know, but... So I'm going to go... We're staying in a place in Ireland that'll have a washer and dryer, and most Airbnbs now you have access. So I'm like, I think I'm going to take 3 pairs of jeans, I'm going to take 7 pairs of underwear, I'm going to take about half a dozen shirts, that's it, and I'm going to wash them while we're away.
I throw out underwear.
Do you?
I do.
Where do you throw it?
I've left my underwear all over airport bathrooms,
Because you have to, or
sometimes
you just do
I just throw it out. Well, because I don't want dirty underwear in my backpack. And sometimes I got to throw it out.
Sometimes I've thrown out underwear too, but only because it cannot be reclaimed.
Right. It's hazardous materials.
not. It's way beyond any reclamation.
I actually get rid of clothes when I travel. I do that a lot. I'll be like, this is the last wear of these sneakers, and I'll take them, and then I'll leave them in Rome or wherever I end up. I'll leave them there, yeah. There was a woman back when I worked on cruise ships, I'll never forget. She got in trouble because she was routinely tossing her clothes overboard. She'd be done with her shirt and be like, all right, I'm done with that one, and off it would go.
Well, I thought about this, too. Going to Ireland, Scotland, not so much England, it's going to be cool.
You know what? You're right. You're going to need a nice little jacket.
It's going to be damp. But the thing is, too, when you're packing, and we've done this before, I don't take the outerwear. Mm-hmm. I arrive at the location. You shop around. You go to a place like their version of a Giant Tiger or a Winners or whatever. You buy yourself something for $20-25 equivalent. Use it for a couple of weeks. You got your money's worth, and then you can dump it.
But the problem is, what I don't want to do, what I don't want to spend my time in Dublin or wherever is, I just need to find a Walmart. I just need to find a... I hate the idea that we could be going to whatever fun museum.
Primark, Penny's.
Yeah, like, you know...
Fun museum?
Yeah. I like museums.
Museums are fun?
I love museums.
Yeah, but would you call them fun?
Yes, from my brain.
All right.
Yeah, I would. Uh-huh. I do.
I know I've had my fill of churches.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the Europe problem. It's like you see one, you see Roman Gothic. You don't say. Stained glass. You know, there's 1600s. Like, cool. Great.
Like we were talking about yesterday, they're sort of like sunsets. They're all the same, maybe a little bit different, but basically, look at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the gold.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the waste of money here.
You know what it is, too? Mm-hmm. And Europe is littered with them, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
John, who was just talking about his trip, when your first place that you go to, you're like, oh my gosh, that's Michelangelo. Oh my god, oh, look at this thing. It's just in the street. And then by the time you're at the fourth or fifth city, you're like, yeah, it's another beautiful marble carving from 1650 or whatever.
I'm way more geography than I am history.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. I love when I'm in Scotland, if I'm standing in a pub that was built in 900 BC or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm looking around. I'm enjoying every moment of it. But nothing gets me like rolling beautiful hills and mountains and cliffs. And we're going to that Giant's Causeway, which is a natural, formation. Whatever
I'll tell you something.
It.
That neck of the woods, that I would be the same because the rest of the stuff in England, every time I go to the UK, I'm like reminded why my people left. I'm always like, yeah, I would have left too. It's the weather's kind of sucks. Church. The food's kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. I'd give me Spain any day. You know what I mean? Like that's how I always feel. But that's like most of my ancestry is that area. But the rolling hills, like I'd love to see the cliffs, you know, in Ireland and those hills and where my ancestors stood and dreamt of a better life.
I'm staying in a house that's just been built in a town called Carlingford.
Okay.
In what appears to be like a fjord, for lack of a better term.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, like one of those inlets that juts in from the side.
Yeah.
And then this house is right near the coast, all sort of little pubs and restaurants, an hour from Dublin, an hour from Belfast.
This sounds amazing.
No, I know. And then I've been reading, and like the highway from Belfast up to Giant's Causeway, it's called A2, and it's some of the most spectacular scenery you would ever want.
Are you going to Belfast, too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you're going to Dublin and Belfast.
Yes, I'm off to Dublin in the green.
Oh, I'm really excited about this for you.
Yeah. And then I'm flying over.
Are you Irish?
This is content instead of Eric Shakeman of the Spin Doctors, who is supposed to be here. This is our content.
Let's do it.
Maybe it's better.
Are you Irish? Is your background?
No, Scottish.
Because so I have a good friend who's Irish, and my mom and my dad, they swabbed their DNA a few years ago, and they just got an email from Ancestry.ca, my mom did, saying, or .com, whatever, saying, actually, we've done even a deeper dive on that DNA, and now we can tell you what town in Ireland you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it's County Kerry, and it's this tiny town where Charlie Chaplin, Waterville, I think, in County Kerry. Well, this girl that I've been working with this whole time, she's like, I'm from that town. Do you understand? So now we're calling each other cousin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that she can't stand is the bus tours of all these Americans, and it's more Americans, I think.
Yeah.
That are going over being like, I'm Irish. I'm so Irish. And like, You've lived not for 200 years. Yeah. And as my dad says, you always got to be suspicious of the ones that left and came back, because those are the ones with money that left all their poor cousins to die. So we always joke about that sort of phenomenon. And it happens in Italy too, right? Where people are like, I'm so Italian. Mm-hmm. I'm so Italian.
I'm from Sicily.
What's this? I want cheese on my shrimp.
Now, I say Scottish, like, my dad's side has Scottish roots. My mom's father was born in England, so what am I? I'm from over there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's it? You don't have any other little quirky...
No.
No? No quirks?
Now, Delise, she's a Heinz 57.
She's all quirk? She's the quirk for both of them.
She has, you know, African and apparently Portuguese, Indian, like, it's crazy. South Africa, right? It was the...
Yeah.
All those races.
Dutch, maybe.
Dutch,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of Dutch.
All came together.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that heritage is a little more interesting than mine.
She sort of makes up for it, I guess.
Yes.
With the two of you.
More so. Yeah, and then Danny, my son, he did one of the ancestry things, or I forget which one he used with the...
DNA swab.
Yeah. Mm. He did a swab?
And you know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
From what we can gather... They nailed it pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Because a lot of the stuff come up that's in her blood that we know.
Right? Oh, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you never know with those things, right?
Mm-mm.
I have a friend who's a Anishinaabe and many generations Anishinaabe. As far as she knows, she's nothing else other than Anishinaabe, which is...
First Nations.
First Nations, Northern Ontario.
I thought you were calling your friend a snobby.
No, I wasn't. And she did a DNA test. I think it was like a free one. So, and then they told her she was a lot of like Russian and what else did they tell her? Romanian. What? And she's like, I'm first generation, like my people, this was our land, like I'm not Romanian, but maybe there's something she doesn't know, or maybe they're just a crock, but I know that some of the better ones, like ancestry.ca, they're pretty bang on with those.
So then I'm taking a puddle jumper over to Liverpool.
Mm. Oh, yes, that's right, you were saying.
Uh-huh.
I've never been.
And I'm doing all the Beatles stuff.
Yeah, and you're going to be a full tourist.
Yes.
Barefoot, Abbey Road.
I'm going to take the Magical Mystery Tour.
That's great.
And then maybe a side trip. Where you actually now, I didn't know John Lennon's house, Yoko bought it.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty cool when
that
you think
cool.
of it. She bought the house, I think handed it over to the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now there's walking tours through the house.
That's cool.
Now, I'm telling you.
That's cool.
If I could stand, and they said, you know, a couple of Beatles songs were written there.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Paul's house.
Mm-hmm.
To stand in one of those rooms where you know those guys were sitting there crafting some of the early Beatles stuff. I'm telling you.
It will send
shivers up my spine.
Let me tell you about this.
You tell me.
Has anyone ever been to Bob Marley's house? No?
No,
it's
I'd love
pretty,
to.
It's You have? Yeah. Okay, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
So it's in the Blue Mountains, and it's very remote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would love to compare notes with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, because this was now probably almost 20 years ago that I was there. No, maybe not 20 years ago. Maybe like 15 years ago that I was there. And we'd go to Jamaica. I worked on cruise ships and we were in Jamaica all the time. So we got to know it really well and a lot of local people really well. And so one day we went ahead and went up to Bob Marley's house in the Blue Mountains. Anyway, so I was ready for that type of experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like where he crafted, where he wrote all the early stuff. And I'm not a huge Bob Marley fan.
Mm-hmm.
I have the best of, you know.
Legend.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have legend?
Who doesn't have legend? Like, that's part of required listening for all humans. But anyway, but it was a cool day. So we get up there, and the tour guide gets up there, and it's a two-room shack, and he takes us into the... And so we talk a lot about that, and he's quoting Bob Marley, and we go into the bedroom. So we're in the first room. Okay, great. Cinder block little thing. We go into the bedroom, and he's singing, you know, like, of my single bed. And he's standing there singing, and I'm looking... And there's like this white eyelet duvet bedspread, like the one I had when I was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like a little girl's bedspread.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sorry, I gotta ask. Like it's got like lace and it's kind of puffy. Looks like it's from Sears. Is this his original bedspread? And the guy's like, No, man, we bought that. And he's got like his hat off in reverence, and he's like being very. And I was like, I just gotta know, like, and it made me laugh because it's like, okay, guys, what's the one we're gonna get for Bob Marley's bed? Oh, that one's it's got some blue flowers on it. And
how far out of your way did you have to go to Bob Marley's house?
Well, let's get very. Justin on because Justin's been there too. So. Was that bedspread still on it? Was it a little girl's bedspread?
No, oh, okay. No, there was no bedspread. It was just like an empty bed.
They had Toronto Maple Leaf sheets on
there. Yeah.
Well, that's what made me laugh. Yeah. It's like, oh, we got that on sale. Yeah.
Take your shoes off inside, but here, let's just throw a Sears mattress.
No, man, we bought that.
It's Tempur-Pedic.
But no, it's a mission to get there.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm surprised you've been, actually.
Yeah, we took the little tour bus thing all through the hills. And actually, while we were on the way there, it's a drop. Like, there's 100-foot drops right down into the trees and the forest. And actually, on the way there was a car that had slid off of the mountain there.
Oh,
and there
was
people all around looking down. And it's crazy because, like, there's houses down in the valley with, you know, the cemetery in the backyard for all their family members.
He's buried back there,
right.
too.
So you must really want to go to
go. Yes. That's why I'm very surprised you've been, actually.
But, like, the thing about it is it's a great trip because you can hit the reverse falls on the way. And
Dunn's Reverse Fall?
Yeah.
Oh, is he out that way?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Like, it's a big loop.
Sort of that way.
So you can do a whole day trip and hit the other stuff. And
it's kind of right in the middle of Jamaica, basically. Like, it's right in the Blue Mountains.
Well, if it was convenient, I'd like to go there because I like Bob Marley as well. But I went to Graceland. That was very cheesy, but glad I did it.
I went to I loved Graceland.
No, I know, and I was very surprised. It, you know, it really wasn't over the top like a mansion or anything. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just sort of, it's almost like a ranch-style bungalow.
It's like a split-level house that, like, you grew up in, but, like, the rich kid of the 70s.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
No.
It's sunken living room, a cool basement.
It's a little creepy. He's buried outside, but...
Oh, is he?
Yeah, by the pool, isn't he? Or is that his mom and dad? Somebody's buried by the pool.
Yeah, and the planes are there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, quickly, when I was in Memphis, speaking of, like, standing in a Beatle bedroom or something and feeling that atmosphere, Sun Records in Memphis, standing there.
Oh, standing at Sun Records is amazing.
Because they preserved it pretty well, you know, where Elvis and all these people, and it does, it sends shivers down your spine.
Have you ever seen Million Dollar Quartet?
No.
You should see it.
All right, pretty good. Eric Shankman of the Spin Doctors did not show up. We had to come up with several minutes of other content. I think we did a not bad job. Maybe it could have been better, but, you know, I think it was all right. Humble and Fred Show, Twitch TV, Funny 820, Facebook Live. We'll be back after the break with more. That is the Spin Doctors that you hear. A member of that band, Eric Shankman, was supposed to be our guest at 8 o'clock. Eric appears to be a no-show. He was confirmed, apparently, but he was at Grossman's Tavern last night performing, probably till 2 or 3 a.m., because that's what those rock stars do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a pretty crazy, rough night at Grossman's.
Beverages and what have you, and then probably woke up this morning, thought, and rolled over and went back to sleep.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, these things happen.
These things happen.
Amanda, Tim Niblett loves you.
I love him.
I know.
It's mutual.
He was just saying the other day it was so nice to have you on the show.
That's nice.
And what you bring to it.
That's so sweet. He's a sweetheart.
Of which you bring a lot.
That's very sweet. Thank
you. Why don't you return the favor right now?
Yeah.
And tell us about the Nibbles.
I will. So I'm actually going to start with my own personal experience with Tim Niblett, because I am joining the Sherpas flock. I'm going to be one of the flock, and I'm very excited about that. And I just got my intro email, and I just have to tell you, it's so well written and so easy to follow that I'm already excited, because I realize my money is going to go to a better place, ultimately back to me. So I have this lovely bullet point. He wants to know my annual income, of course, retirement age goals, my current investment statements, pension information, work plans. I'll analyze it, do a projection, and we'll set up a meeting to discuss opportunities and influence. We can do an insurance analysis if desired. Like, come on, this guy's amazing. And there's much, much more in this email. If you haven't joined the flock, I'm going to say, what are you waiting for? Tim is a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Get with it, people, and get your money.
And the Chambers Plan is Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. The Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for firms with, say, 1 to 100 employees. If you go to chamberplan.ca, you can get a free quote for your small business. It's very simple to do that. Group benefits, including health and dental insurance, so many other products under the umbrella, believe me. Check it out. 30,000 Canadian businesses have joined up. They've been around for 40 years, so it's very stable. It's a great way to reward your employees of your small business. Really, look into it. If you've always thought that insuring your employees would be much too expensive, listen, there is a way to do it. Check out the Chambers Plan at chamberplan.ca. Okay. Here's what was going to happen. Eric Schenkman, Eric Schenkman of the Spin Doctors, was going to walk in the studio, sit down, and I was going to say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's with great pleasure and honor to introduce this next man, a member of the popular 90s band, the Spin Doctors. In fact, he co-wrote all five of their top 100 hits. Can you name them? Was going to be a little aside that I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Humble and Fred Show, Eric Schenkman.
Eric Schenkman. Oh. Oh.
That's what was going to happen.
No.
And then
here.
To start the interview off, I was going to say, wow, Two Princes 1983. I remember it vividly. My son played the crap out of that song.
1983?
93. Did I say 83?
You did.
I'm sorry. 93.
Threw me for a loop.
I was looking right at 93.
You said
I'd say
80. Well...
Oh, man, what's the matter?
That happens. No,
it's
happens.
Happening more. But to be looking at 93 and say 83, that's a concern. That's too much Teflon, right, on my frying pans.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been like that since day one, so I was born with Teflon.
Two Princes reached number 7 on the Billboard charts, number 2 in Canada. Very popular song.
It was big.
It really was.
I wonder how much money that one song made.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions, because I always like to talk about money. In fact, I said Pocket Full of Kryptonite, big, huge album. Did you make a lot of money? I was going to ask him that question.
And I would follow up with, do you think the residuals are different now than what they were because of wonderful things like that we love, like Spotify? Is that harder as an artist? That would have been a hard-hitting question.
No, it would have been. Yeah, it would. I like the hearty. And then I in the early 90s, I remember when that song was current, walking in the house, Danny played it and played it and played it and played it.
He was the perfect age for Spin Doctors, I bet. He was, what, like 11 or something? Yeah.
Then I was going to say, Eric, I was going to ask you if the Spin Doctors are still active, but I see you're playing at the Southington Apple Harvest Festival on October 12th in Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
Because they are. And
where did you see that?
2 days in Missouri, Justin?
Oh, I did my research.
Oh, my God. This isn't in... I didn't prep that.
No, I know.
That.
No, I went a little further.
Usually I go... Usually I put the tour dates and stuff and all of it.
But I... Sometimes in these situations, I like to look for little hooks, maybe to get a laugh, you know?
Yeah.
So I was... Southington Apple Harvest Festival sounds pretty funny, doesn't it?
It does.
October 12th. And then I was going to say, Eric, do you play a lot of Apple Festivals?
And then I was going to say, did you know that Fred's farts smell like different varietals of apple?
How do you know that?
Because that's a thing. That's a bit.
Apple farts.
Oh, right. Apple
do you
fart.
Not
oh, right,
Apple
right.
fart sommelier. That was one of Howard's.
Oh, that's right.
That was very 2014.
See too much Teflon.
And I've been here too long, too, because that's a callback from years ago. Mm-hmm. Years, I tell you.
Eric. The Spin Doctors were considered an alt rock band. How has alt rock changed from the 90s to current day? Because alt rock in the 90s, you know, was grungy and a little heavier. Now you listen to alt rock, it's a lot of that folksy, sucky stuff they play on the edge.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could have said, you might not know this, but we were really big in the alt rock world. Mm-hmm. And did you ever hear of us? Or, you know, are you going to shout out on your Facebook that you were here? We would have had that convo.
Then I was going to say, what would you describe as the height of the Spin Doctors? Do you have degenerate stories like a lot of other rock bands? Like, did you get gonorrhea and that kind of thing,
yeah.
right?
Or what was it like playing on Saturday Night Live? Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, I would have asked that one.
Yeah.
And then maybe follow up with Woodstock, when you did that Woodstock in 1999.
Did they?
I heard there was a lot of...
violence.
Sexual mm-hmm. assaults on that one. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Me Too movement, Eric Shankman? I would have followed up with, mm-hmm. just to bring the mood.
Now we've changed his name. It's Shankman.
What is it?
You said Shankman, I thought.
Oh, I may have. Shankman.
Eric,
Shankman.
What do you think of the Hummel and Fred show changing your name?
What do you think of our intro where I said you wrote that great Smash Mouth hit, Walking on the Sun?
Yeah. Eric, what's the matter with you? You don't even know you wrote Walking on the Sun?
Where's your goatee?
What's the matter with you?
Why aren't you in Smash Mouth now? Yeah. Hey, what's Smash Mouth doing? Are they big on the West Coast?
All-Star? Ever heard of that?
I was going to say... Biggest concerts you perform? Who did you perform with? Did you perform with some other big acts at big concerts? You said...
Carly Simon he performed with. Right. Natalie Merchant. What happened to Natalie Merchant? Why haven't we heard from her?
Yeah.
We could have asked. Mm-hmm. He would say, I don't know. And then we'd be like, interesting.
But did he, you know, and what were those days like? Big bands and big venues and... Mm-hmm. Big times and big fun and
The 90s, Lilith mm-hmm. Fair. Like there was Lollapalooza. Did you ever play Lollapalooza, or were you too pop for that?
Mm-hmm.
What was the Lollapalooza pop? Because I don't remember. I wasn't maybe huge into pop back then.
Then I would have said your current album. It's a solo. It's a solo work. It's called Who Shot John? We won't talk a lot about that because you know what it's like, Eric. People don't really care about it. They want to talk about the past and the stuff they know.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want to dwell on what they don't know and the new stuff. You understand, right, Eric?
Is that a challenge for you, Eric? Are people yelling out, Two Princes? And you're like, here's another new track. And then they're like, play Two Princes again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember their other songs. What were their other songs? That's the only one I remember. Now that I know they're not Smash Mouth.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
I was a toddler.
Oh, my gosh. That does bring back memories.
Who Shot John? We understand it's raw rock and blues to funk soul pop. You've really covered the spectrum there, Eric.
Yeah.
You've done a good job, Eric. Good job,
so
Eric.
Who really
all
shot?
Those things.
Yeah.
And apparently there was an electric washboard.
Oh, my gosh.
In the title track, Who Shot John, there's an electric washboard.
By Cody Dickinson.
We could have done 20 minutes on that.
That was in Memphis.
I love the washboard. You know, when guys literally play the washboard.
I don't know that I know an electric one, though. You just plug it in?
That's what I'm saying. We could have talked about that for 20 minutes.
We'll never know. Now we'll never know.
We would have said, Eric, you know, just a washboard to play a washboard, that's great, but an electric one? Tell us about it.
It doesn't look very safe. It's like a bunch of electrical wires on a very old washboard.
I'll tell you something. Who Shot John drops October 26th, so I'm going to guarantee you almost that he'll probably be back here. We'll probably be asking these actual... We'll just play this, and you and Howard can go have a little break.
Now, I had one question. I had one question here that I wasn't sure I was going to ask. It all depended on the tone, the feel of the interview. Seriously.
No, I know.
Is he a good guy? Is he a fun guy?
Yeah, is he into it?
Is he one of these guys that's, you know, thinks he's bigger than he actually is? I don't know.
I'm going to send this clip to him. We always send the clip to the artist. I'm going to send the clip without the artist today.
But see, now that he's not here sitting in the studio, I have huge balls now.
Okay, tell me about these big balls.
And I would have asked this question. Hey, Eric. Back in 2013, Rolling Stone magazine, they did a list. They did a reader's poll: worst bands of the 90s. Spin Doctors, number 8.
Who was number 1?
I don't know. I didn't. Listen, I did research not that much. I know Limp Bizkit and Creed. Creed probably number one.
Oh, my God,
one.
Creed.
I hate Creed.
Well, it wasn't cool to they were like the Nickelback of the 90s, mm-hmm. right? Because they were religious, mm-hmm. right? That was the thing with Creed.
Justin, if you're there, 2013, see who
yeah,
number
let's
one
get
was.
That.
All I know is that Spin Doctors was number eight. But you know what I'm saying?
Worst bands of the I bet Smash Mouth is also in that list. Who got higher of the worst, uh-huh. Smash Mouth or Spin Doctors?
Right.
I wonder.
So he's sitting here. Say he's a bit crusty. I don't ask that yeah. question in case the interview goes south. If he's a fun, neat guy, I ask that question. But as I say, without him here now, I bring that up. Rolling Stone magazine, huge mag.
Yeah.
And to be make the top 10 list of the worst of the 90s?
You got
to
be proud of that.
What do you got there?
You gotta
Creed is number one.
Here, come on, sit down. Tell
okay,
us.
Okay, come. I want us to guess. Okay, let's all take a guess of who we think. But before we say that, I just want to have a little shout out from our Twitter feed, Brian from The Wick.
Brian.
This is turning into the best no-show interview ever given.
So, are you going to be playing Keswick, Eric Shentwin? Yeah, or maybe Sutton.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say... Smash Mouth is controversial. Who did... I'm going to say Chumbawamba for worst bands of the 90s. Wow. I'm going to go with Chumbawamba.
Are they
90s? 99.
No. They're the end of the 90s. Oh, okay. I Get right. Knocked Down was 99, yeah. Or 98.
98. Could be 98.
You know what?
At least 99.
I guarantee you it was 98 because I did it as a lip sync with my kids in Korea, and and I was there in 98.
I'm young. Hmm. I Get Knocked
Hold
Down.
Hold on. Yeah. What? What did you just say?
I did Tub Thumping.
Right.
The Chumbawamba hit, uh-huh. Tub Thumping, as a lip sync with my kids for a talent show in Korea because they loved the song. So I did it as a lip sync with them. Like, I did a little dance routine that I taught them, and I taught them all the words because they were learning English.
Uh-oh.
It was all booze.
Pissing the night away.
It's like he takes a whiskey drink. I had them go. He takes a whiskey drink.
Whiskey.
He takes a vodka drink.
Vodka.
He takes a cider drink. He takes a lager drink. And they puked on lager. That was very clever when I was 21. Anyway, that was, I taught the kids that, and I know it was there in 1998. So.
That tub thumping, that could be another sexual term, right? Dinner in the bathtub.
Yeah, it's Chumbawamba. You're working on someone's Chumbawamba.
She caught me in the tub thumping.
Right.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
So that's my vote.
You have the list, 1
I
to 10?
List.
Don't tell us
I
yet.
Do.
I
want other
people.
So Chumbawamba's mine.
I can't guess either.
Why?
What do you
because
mean?
I have the list too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your guess?
Well, I would have picked Creed.
Creed is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Born in the 90s?
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish is great.
But is that alt rock? No.
Is this alt rock?
Yeah.
No, but Spin Doctors weren't alt rock.
Well, the list says worst bands of the 90s. Could be anyone.
Just bands.
Worst bands of the 90s.
So,
Well, it was funny in the... They are described on Wikipedia as an alt-rock band of the 90s.
That's a real abuse of that term.
All right.
Well, we'll never know. He's not here to give another... Sorry, I forgot what band you said.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie. Okay, so we got Creed, Hootie, and Chumbawamba.
I just remember, I know, at the Edge we played Creed. And it was excruciating.
That's so weird. But think about that. They were a Christian rock band. How did they slip through? Nobody knew, eh? That must have been why.
Just horrid.
How did they slip through?
Okay, we want to get to a Sean Science story today before the end of the show because there will be no podcast extra because we have to leave. So let's have the list.
So Creed was number one.
Oh,
of course, there you go. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Everyone's favorite Nickelback.
Yeah.
Oh.
90s though?
Yeah.
Really?
99 maybe?
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
Hanson.
Mm. Oh, Hanson. I forgot about him.
That was a boy band, wasn't it?
Yeah. Three Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Alt rock, obviously.
They're still playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pop music.
Nirvana?
Nirvana?
Allegedly Nirvana?
No.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Come on.
Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. Then, you know, if I'm Eric, what's his name?
Shankman.
Of the Spin Doctors.
Eric Noshow.
And I'm on that list, all of a sudden I don't feel so bad if Nirvana's on there because the list is stupid if Nirvana's on there.
And you're under Nirvana. Nirvana's even more stupid than you, then
And then Sean was right. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie. Oh.
And then Bush.
Oh my God, Bush. I forgot about Bush. Our
senior or junior.
Our friends, the Spin Doctors.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ace of Base.
I saw the sign.
No, I don't. I take umbrage with that.
And then Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, interesting. Controversial.
A lot of people don't like
all those boys wearing all that Abercrombie.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to, did anyone go to a Dave Matthews concert back in the 90s?
I was outside of the venue where they were holding a concert. I was staying at the hotel where it was right next door.
I drove to
Buffalo. Goodness. Well, you were right there then.
So I could hear the whole thing and I could see the whole crowd, but I couldn't see him on stage. But
I lived with actors who were in school. And it was a constant stream of Dave Matthews on the guitar in the year would have been 2002. So anything good about Dave Matthews at 5 in the morning was strummed out of my head.
I just remember the story about there was a controversy some years ago that the Dave Matthews Band bus was in a city and they released their tour bus. They released their holding tank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Like on a city street or on a bridge or something?
Like their sewer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Mm. And they made the news for that.
Their pee-pee and caca?
Yeah.
That's
the
funny.
Space
so then, and the big fans are, oh, which one is Dave Matthews' turd? I want it. I want Dave's turd.
Don't planes do that? Couldn't you be like walking around and there's like frozen turds
chunks
on
of
you?
Ice? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they always say that. I don't know. I've never.
I got Dave Matthews' turd.
Dave, what's he doing now, Dave?
I don't know.
Like, he was so big for a time, and now what's he doing? Playing the Apple Festival? Like, what happened? Why did he become so uncool?
I don't know. I've never, you know, it's.
Oh, he's playing with Crowded House.
Okay.
Okay. I love Crowded House.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah, love Crowded House.
They would be my favorite band, probably.
I was just thinking how much 90s. I would love to just listen to them. But they were 80s, too.
80s, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably more 80s,
actually. The second thing that comes up when you type in Dave Matthews is 15 years ago, his band's bus poops on Chicago Street.
Chicago.
That's right. See? Yep. I remembered that. See the stuff
years.
I remember?
Can you imagine that making news now? Like,
oh, my God.
You know, not a sexual assault or anything like that. Just the poop done did a
fun, happy news.
They did a poo-poo. Like, they did a little
news.
Poo-poo. That's funny.
No, Crowded House is...
Crowded House... I'll tell you...
They're on my playlist, I'll tell you.
I saw Neil Finn, anyone who's listening. Yeah. If you can... He still tours. If you can get a chance, because they don't tour together, the Split Ends / Crowded House Boys, but Neil Finn still tours. And if you can see him in concert, I'll tell you it was the best concert I've ever seen in my life. It was like at Massey
that's
Hall.
Saying something.
At Massey Hall, too. Like, he was so good, and it's just him and the music. There's no, you know, I've been to Madonna, and I've been to Britney Spears, and I've been to the Pomp and Circumstance concerts. Mm-hmm. Just him and a guitar and a piano is the best concert I've ever been to. It was beautiful.
Don't dream it's over.
It's such a good song.
Might be. And, you know, you throw this stuff out, and you got to think about it before you say it. But Don't Dream It's Over may be one of my favorite songs. It might be my favorite song of all time.
I think it was voted the best song of the 80s. I think there was a vote somewhere where it said
how good is that
the
song?
Quintessential song of the 80s was Don't Dream It's Over. Do you even know this song?
Nope.
You've never heard it.
I might know it to hear it, but, like, off the top, just from the
name
of it.
Can you play it?
But that's fine. He's a kid.
Yeah.
No, but still.
No, I understand that, but...
Like, I would probably know it to hear it. But
hey now, don't dream.
Hey
it's
now, hey now.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I know this.
Oh, so good.
Isn't it
I couldn't recite the lyrics, but.
Well, neither can I.
Yeah. It's actually a hard one. Yeah, they're kind of wonky.
Keep going, Phil.
They're from New Zealand.
There's a battle ahead. Not battle. Many battles are lost, but you never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
Oh, my God.
He holds a note, Giddy.
You know what? This is what you drive to the cottage.
Yes.
To windows down.
Beautiful. This song puts me in a place, and it has for a couple of decades now or whatever, and still does.
Beautiful.
And it's funny, you mentioned Dave Matthews and on. Like, there's no Dave Matthews on any of my playlists.
No, me neither.
I've been listening the odd time to Spectrum on Sirius XM, and they're playing way too much Led Zeppelin now. I don't like Led Zeppelin. I'm sorry.
I like Led Zeppelin.
From beginning, to, like, nothing about it. I know.
I know you and Howard are on the same page. With
No. I know. We've been up that road before, and I'm just saying it's funny, you know, to people's different playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Crowded House on...
You know,
more than one playlist.
It's so funny that we're talking about it because this morning I had the thought I want to listen to Crowded House today. Like at work, I'm going to put it on.
Okay, let's go out with. It's been a great week. Thank you guys for supporting the Fred Man while Howard's been away.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of fun, and really the only glitch was Errol Schenkelman not showing up.
And what a gift it was.
He's playing with his Schenkman.
So let's go out with a Sean Science story.
Mm-hmm. Little science story to finish the day. Yes. Alien signals. That's what have been found. They have new alien signals. Last time they studied this and looked for these were back in 2007. That's when we noticed there was these random recurring sounds, signals coming from somewhere outside our galaxy. Mm-hmm. Now they've found 8 recurring sounds. So there's a potentially 8 different alien civilizations out there trying to contact us.
But the for sure alien, like...
They don't know what these... They call them... What were they called? Fast radio bursts. They just can't explain the sound or the signal, why it's being directed at us, and why it's repeating.
That gives me the shivers.
Can we hear the sound somewhere?
It's just... I don't think so, because it's just loud... It's just noise, really, is what it sounds like.
It's like a blip on white noise.
It's like Creed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like listening to a Creed song, and someone really did that in depth. Mm-hmm.
Super white noise.
God.
There is 8, which is pretty cool. That just means they're looking that far outside our galaxy, and we may actually know what these mean now, because before we didn't really, we couldn't understand why this random signal is being sent to Earth, or we were capturing it. Now we can at least figure out why these repeating signals are coming.
Because someone's trying to say hello?
Yeah, and that could be the answer, which is still pretty cool in mind. Aliens exist.
It's one dude in his alien basement going, hello? Yeah. Hello? Anyone out there?
Just tapping
hello?
In Morse code.
Yeah.
Now from the other side.
Mom, I'm coming upstairs for dinner.
See, I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to aliens.
You are?
Really?
Well, even same with the whole God thing. It's like, you know, if you're there, come on. Just say hello, please. If there's a God, I mean, listen, how long has it been since you come down and just let us know you're there? Like, send us another sun or something. I don't know.
But aliens is science, and God is God.
Well, whatever. It's all the same thing.
We'll find out.
A God.
See, I'm with you, actually, on that. But a lot of people are like, no, science is science, and science. Some people are so... they're almost evangelical about science, which always freaks me out because we don't know, you know?
I'll get caught up in the alien thing when one actually lands and walks out and says, hello, right?
Just wait, September 20th, they're storming Area 51. We may have those answers.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you mean they're storming Area 51?
Well, people have thing on Facebook. All the nuts, they're fed up and they want to know what's going on there, so they're going to storm the area.
Oh, my God. It's like a Hong Kong of Area 51.
Yep, every man for themselves. They can't stop us all.
No aliens can fly in.
Come on, Andromeda. Where are you?
Oh, sorry. <That's okay.
laughs> And so ends this week of the Humble and Fred Show without Howard. Again, I keep thanking you people, but again, thank you for being here. Amanda, Phil, Sean, Justin, the listeners, the people on Twitch. It's a wonderful thing. And the whole thing, the whole crew, will be back together on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, Freedom Construction, Ringside MD, and Clear Air Solutions. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. Best of Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.